I was born disabled and had to endure many humiliations. I was dependent on the love and the cooperation of my fellow human beings. I paid off my debts through this painful life. But that is not what I have to talk about, because now that the burden has been laid aside, I am fine. After my retreat into the afterlife, I became a free spirit, with healthy spiritual limbs and healthy thinking. And I had a strong will to continue to rise. So I also received the instruction and guidance that brought me to a certain, or pleasant level, which is where I stand today. But I do not have to talk to you about that either, because I have atoned for the heavy burden that I carried, and so I was now able to reach this level in the spiritual world through further instruction and further amends. I must tell you about the life before the last, in which I had incurred these debts, and then I would like to report on the experiences in the afterlife. I had not exactly had a pleasant job, and I had committed serious or very serious sins against my fellow human beings. I was a prison guard and they were not very strict about the way they treated these prisoners. I had burdened myself with great guilt. I had no compassion and no love, nothing like that, and because of this lack of feeling I had burdened myself with this heavy guilt. Now I would like to tell you about my return home, about the spiritual world. You know yourselves how things are in life. When you turn away from God and have no interest in your neighbor and lead a life of little feelings, when you get into debt and make yourself hated by your neighbor, there is no need to say much about that, you come across it again and again. But I would like to tell you about the experience in the other world, how it was for me when I crossed the threshold of the afterlife. Two spirits came towards me, very eagerly. They looked very beautiful and it was immediately clear to me where I was. I immediately felt this higher power around me. And they also said to me, "So, we are not happy with you, Theodore, you have lived a bad life. You have inflicted great wounds on your spiritual body, and these wounds need healing. A long time until they are healed. You were a nasty fellow." There were two of them, one on my right, one on my left, and I remember them well. They took turns reproaching me, and they kept saying, "You were a very nasty fellow, Theodore." Well, I knew that. It was clear to me that I had not lived as I should have. I did not believe that there was a life after death. I did not believe that one would be held accountable. I just lived. And now they said, "Yes, with such nasty fellows as you, what can one do? How can one deal with them? Here they are, torn to pieces, and their spiritual body is sick and wounded by their horrible deeds. Now, come with me." I had actually been on the way for a long time, and I felt tired and wanted to rest. I explained that I wanted to rest, that I was tired, and that they could talk to me again later. "No, you will have time to rest later. For now, come, because we are now taking you into your house." I was led along a long path. This path reminded me of an avenue in the earthly realm. There were trees on both sides, but trees, they were actually just empty branches. It was just the trunk of the tree and a branch here and there, but there were no leaves. Everything was bare. I didn't exactly feel cold, but it was unpleasant. There was nothing there that could have brightened you up in any way, nothing green. Everything was desolate and bare wherever I looked. I wandered along this road, with bare trees on both sides. In this way, the accusations came down on me, once from the right, once from the left. I was told about the people I had mistreated, and that the wounds I had inflicted on these people were my own wounds and that it would take a long time to heal them. I did not yet understand what these words meant. I looked at my hands and searched for my wounds, and I did not feel that I had wounds. But I was amazed at how I actually looked. I was wearing a very dark brown robe. It was a coarse robe, not the kind that men wear, but it was high-necked up to the neck and had wide, cut-off sleeves. It was a sack, so to speak, and this sack went down to my knees. I also wore trousers of the same color and was shoeless, barefoot. I looked at myself as best I could and I had the feeling that I had no wounds at all and that I was wearing a strange garment. But I thought, well, in this world this must be the fashion. I actually didn't care what I was wearing, because at the time I was just tired. I just wanted to sleep, and I had no other problems. Well, then we came to this house that I had been told I would be taken to. This house was a very long, bare building. It had very small windows, as far as I could see, but it had a lot of doors. The building was low, but long, very, very long. Then they opened a door like this for me and said, "There, this is your future home now." They came with me into this room, and the room with this small window, with this small opening, was, mind you, very dark. They didn't say much more. They had heaped enough accusations on me, and they left me completely alone. I had no chair, no table, nothing like that. There were only the walls and the floor. Then they said to me, "Now you have time to sleep. You can sleep as long as you want." I wanted to hold them back and said that they couldn't just lock me up like that, and I would like to know when I would be taken out again and whether I would be released. They didn't give me any answer. They closed the door and it was dark around me. At that moment I was not able to think any further, but I was very tired. I could imagine that this tiredness was caused by the change from earthly death to spiritual awakening. And then I could sleep. I didn't know how long I had slept. I remember opening my eyes and it was very dark. All tiredness had disappeared, and when I opened my eyes, I first thought, "Perhaps it is night, perhaps there is a night here too." I waited for day, but it never got light. So I stayed in this darkness. Then I started knocking and banging, shouting and making noise and raging. I wanted to draw the attention of the others to me. But it was no use. I could rage as much as I wanted. I was rather tired beforehand and then gave up again. Then I thought about life and I remembered the Christian holidays and what was proclaimed, that Christ had brought salvation to mankind. Then I thought, yes, there is something wrong with this salvation. In any case, I am not saved. I am now in the dark, and I do not know how long this will last. But then I was moved to pray, because I remembered people who had prayed and also my childhood, when my mother had taught me to pray. I began to pray, but actually without conviction, without devotion, more so that I would be set free. I do not know how long I persevered like that. I cannot say, because there is no clock and no days that are named. Time stands still and you don't know what today and tomorrow and yesterday is. Then, when I had prayed and begged that someone would at least bring me some light, that someone would free me, a light suddenly came in. It was in a bowl of oil. This oil was burning and so it gave me light. I was happy about this light. It had come through the wall and was standing there in the middle of the room. It gave me the opportunity to look around. Having this light gave me great joy. Then I thought to myself, "Yes, you are now in a higher power. They now have power over you. I have already felt that. So they also have the opportunity to bring light to you completely invisibly." Because I didn't see anyone bring a light in, it was just there. So that encouraged me to keep praying and to think about life. Then I came to the conclusion that it would have been better if I had not practiced such a trade and had been different. But I couldn't have known what would happen after death. After all, very few people could. You just lived in the present and took what it had to offer you. You took advantage of it and let your feelings run free, and that burdened you. But I was disappointed. The light that was there suddenly disappeared again and I was back in the dark. That gave me a new incentive to pray and think again. So I thought, well, maybe this is hell where I am now, maybe this is purgatory. I didn't know. In any case, I was now in a dungeon. I was locked up, deprived of my freedom. I couldn't do anything, so I prayed again. And after a while the light came back. And so it came and went again, at certain intervals. I took advantage of this precious time, if I can even call it time or the opportunity, and really prayed. At least I believed that then a deeper or greater remorse arose in me and I became more insightful. I also believed that the light then always stayed longer from one time to the next, but it always penetrated the room in this strange way. I never saw anyone carry the light in. It came through the door and suddenly stood in the middle of the room. I couldn't calculate how long I had been in this darkness. In any case, according to my feelings, it was a very long time and always this doing nothing, always being in the dark and only looking forward to the moment when the light comes in and at least seeing a light. So I then spoke to this light and I recited my transgressions out loud, as far as I could still remember them, always in front of this light. It gave me a certain strength and, I believe, strength to see. Suddenly the obstacle was pushed away from this small window, which was covered from the outside, and a little light now penetrated into the room. From then on I no longer needed this little light, the light from above was enough for me to see myself and to look at the surroundings, this desolate surroundings. So I now had another ray of hope. First they gave me a little light, and then they removed this obstacle, and now the natural spiritual light came into my room, so I hoped that a further redemption would be ready for me. And so it was. Suddenly they came again, these two who had brought me to this dungeon, and they said to me, "Now, Theodore, a certain phase of your purification is over, just a certain phase. This room, you must not forget, is your home. You can now move freely, wherever you are drawn to." That is, I could move freely in this sphere where the house stood, and I was drawn to the earth, to its people, for I was still too closely connected to them. My thoughts and desires were still too tied to all that is material. I was not yet purified and was actually too similar to people in my observations and thoughts. So I was able to express the wish to go to earth. That was my first desire, so to speak. I wanted to observe people and go here and there, which had actually not been possible for me during my lifetime. I was free. And these two said, "You are free. In certain areas you can wander around. So I would like to put it like this, I could not cross over into other spheres beyond, so I could only go from my home, from my sphere, to earth. Both were connected, there was a path or a road from my house to earth. I recognized this path well, and so I sought out people. It was my wish to live with the fine people for once. As a human being I could not lead a nice life, I had a very simple life. And so I wanted to live with these fine people. I had access to them, I chose the so-called fine people. That is to say, the fine people didn't interest me, I was more interested in the house. Because I had now determined that I would have two homes in the future, one on earth and one in the other. The other world was bad enough, on earth. On the other hand, I had the opportunity to seek out what was comfortable and beautiful. So I sought out the homes of the fine people and settled in. I lay down there, lived with these fine people, I lay down wherever I liked. It was actually very rare that anyone blocked my access. So it had happened that I wanted to go into a noble house here or there and was chased away, so I couldn't get in. But there were enough opportunities to live with fine people, and that was my joy. I stayed like that for a while. Then, all of a sudden, without actually wanting to, I was drawn back to the other home, into the desolate, empty room, and the door closed again. It closed, but I could open it and step out and leave again, but stayed for a while, had the feeling that this was your real home, that you had to be there, that surprises could come your way and that you could miss something if you weren't there. And so you stayed again and waited for those who had power over you. But it seemed as if I had been forgotten and as if no one cared about me at all. So I turned more and more to these people and their rooms. I then became interested in what other people like me were doing and started talking to them. For example, I also visited churches. They were always very well filled with spirit beings, and to my great surprise I found that my colleagues were even still arguing with each other in the church. They were arguing over the best place. They also sat down wherever they wanted. The first one just took the place he liked. But there was always a big rush, and those who were already there were pushed further forward. Everyone wanted to be at least on the steps of the altar. There they knelt down and prayed. Yes, they lay down very close to the altar and slept. Some sang, others prayed, others cried. It was chaos. I then talked to others about it. Why do these people go to church? What kind of beings are they that are being forced to go to church? And then they said to me, yes, you see, if we pray here, we have the opportunity to be freed more quickly. People also come here and pray, and when people pray devoutly, a power rises from them, and this power then enables us to rise, to pursue this power. It brings us relief and greater courage and joy. I couldn't really understand that. I thought to myself, yes, pray, if you want to pray, you can pray anywhere, you don't have to pray in church. I can also pray in my other home if I have to, especially since I believed that this church had long been degraded by the constant quarreling of all those who crowded in there. Sometimes, when people came, these spirits attacked them like savages to pray with them, to experience salvation through them. People came and prayed a lot for the poor souls. Then the spirits argued and, so to speak, attached themselves to these people. Sometimes they even accompanied them home, but then they came back to the church. So there was a siege, so to speak. I visited some churches, and I had to notice the same thing in many places, and especially in Catholic churches. These were always very, very crowded. Well, I saw that it all depends on what interests and inclinations you have. I liked living in a beautiful house, sitting on beautiful cushions, having beautiful surroundings, and they liked being in the church. I didn't just stay in the house, I was interested in what my brothers and sisters were doing, who were also there in this world. I went to bars, I went to museums. In the bars, you could see them too, the ghosts. They besieged people, attacked them as soon as they came through the door. They had fun with them, they drank and were happy with them. I also went to museums, and there too I saw many, many ghosts. And that is, just as I sat down on a soft cushion in the houses of the fine people, spirits sat down next to valuable paintings and constantly shone their light on these paintings. Yes, they ran their hands back and forth over these paintings and admired them. They walked up and down in these museums and slept there. That was their home. I also talked to them there and asked, well, what kind of pleasure is it to live here? And then they said, well, where do you live if you have free time? I answered, well, I'll make myself more comfortable than here, sleeping on the floor and adoring these paintings. I want it to be nicer. And they replied that sitting on a cushion didn't interest them. It meant nothing to them. It was nothing. Now that one is free from the earthly body, one doesn't need a cushion to sit on. It was much more interesting to be interested in art and to try to be able to engage with art in the other world. I saw straight away what kind of people they were. They only wanted to engage with art, but they were burdened, just like me. They also had a burden to bear. Well, they settled down in these museums and were happy. They had great joy there. There were enough of these bad brothers and sisters, among whom I was also counted, who had passed the first period of purification. You could also see them lying around in the wine cellars, on the barrels and on the floor. They also went near the people who were engaged there, so they stayed there too, and they had great joy and interest in it. So I always had to see, if you had engaged with something as a human being during your lifetime, you still had the same interests after you had laid down your body. Yes, I would almost say, one was strengthened even more in this desire, one had an even greater desire for these interests. If one had perhaps only dealt with something superficially in the human body, then as a spirit one approached the matter eagerly. So I encountered these spirits everywhere, in the whole earthly realm. Wherever there are people, there are spirits, all kinds of spirits. They are just some who enjoy themselves with people, who take pleasure in one thing or another, in what they do, what they achieve or how they think and act and so on. So I was able to observe them, and I also saw that certain spirits exercised the power they had over people. I did not try this, I had no interest in people at all. I was interested in how they lived and how the otherworldly ones occupied themselves in the earthly realm, what possibilities they had. For me it was almost a satisfaction that I was not the only bad guy, but that there were so many like me, because I thought to myself, Well, I was bad, and the others were just as bad, otherwise they wouldn't have to return to this earth. If they liked their other homeland, they would stay there and not take this road to earth. But there was not enough entertainment for them on the other side, so they stayed among people, and there was a lot of interesting and entertaining stuff there. Even when people went to rest, you could still occupy yourself with their spirit. So there was no lack of interesting events. You really had a very interesting existence among these people. Now and then I said yes, I was drawn back to the other world. But here I had the feeling that I had been abandoned, that I had been forgotten, nobody cared about me at all. When I was among people, I saw noble beings now and then, but they paid no attention to me. Then I thought, well, you are an outcast, you have been forgotten. I must accept my fate, and be at peace. I didn't want to complain, I had gotten my freedom back, I could now do what I liked. But it wasn't like that, I had miscalculated. When I came back the one day, the two of them came into me again. They closed the door and said, "We have to talk to you." Then they said, "Do you really believe that life will continue as you are leading it? You can continue to lead a life like that for a long time, but you will never get out of this prison. You have the opportunity to find the way from this room to people and to live among people, to seek them out, but that is all. The world where people live is not your real home. Your real home is the world beyond. You just have to try to work your way out of this prison. You have been given light, you have been given freedom, and that is one step. Now comes the next step. But we leave it entirely up to you. You must now decide for yourself whether you have the strength to do it, whether you want to or not, whether you like life as you live it or whether you want to make an effort." Yes, actually I liked it quite a bit. I felt more attracted to people than to the spiritual world. People, with all their trappings, could offer me more than my other home, where everything was just dull for me and where I still saw no possibility of entering a better life, a better atmosphere. Then someone talked to me and said, "We know that you like it, but we would recommend that you be a little more diligent and work for a better life. What you are living there is not a better life. And look. The wounds on your body that we spoke of, are still there." I looked at my hands, but I saw no wounds. I had the feeling that I was fine. "Yes," they said, "you don't see the wounds now, but you will feel them soon, because the wounds you have inflicted on people are also your wounds, and they will come to light." Then they explained to me, "It can't go on like this forever. But you must try to take on a task so that your development is accelerated." I wanted to know what I had to do and they said, "Yes, you can be there among the people, because you feel it is your second home. There are enough people with whom you can fulfill your tasks." They then agreed to accompany me, to initiate me into the new task, where I should really be successful in order to get a better apartment in the afterlife afterwards. I was told that I would have to earn this apartment, so to speak. I agreed and I thought, I can give it a try. Then they came with me and took me to a severely handicapped person. He couldn't walk, he had to crawl. He couldn't speak either. So he was completely dependent on the help of people. If no one was there, he had to crawl. They took me to one of these people and said, "Now look at this person." And I answered, "Yes, that's terrible. Is it really necessary that I have to be next to such a person?" And they said, "Yes, that's necessary, because you have to try to understand his suffering. His suffering must become your suffering." "Oh, God forbid," I replied, "I don't want to have his suffering, and I don't like this person." Then they said, "Just try it. Try it once." They took me to another one who was in a similar condition, so to speak, and they said, "You should go from this one to the other interns. Perhaps you'll find a third and a fourth. You should engage with them, you should observe their lives. You should listen to the speeches that their fellow human beings have against them, and you should feel the pain that they have to endure, this contempt, this humiliation, this lack of love. That should speak to your soul. Try it now, we'll give you time, visit them interns." And then I was accompanied to some of these poor people. Yes, I did as I was told, but I didn't stay long, neither with one nor with the other, because I didn't like that. I couldn't help these poor creatures. And when I saw the other spirits there, some even spat in front of such beings and went away. So I saw nothing edifying or beautiful. Now and then there was a helpful spirit who spoke a comforting word to such a person. But I could do that, after all, and the person didn't hear it, so, in my opinion, it was completely meaningless. At first I went from one thing to the other, but then I thought, yes, that's pointless for me. And I turned back to my other interests. I went to see people again and was interested in their lives and what they do. Then I had to go back to the other world, and it seems to me the same thing again, that I had been forgotten. But to be cautious, I kept going from one disabled person to another on Earth from time to time, because I believed that the others didn't know how long I had been with them. I didn't know that it was precisely recorded how long I had devoted myself to these poor people. Now this certainly lasted quite a long time, so I had my freedom. I had quickly visited these poor people and then turned away again and went back to my pleasures. Then, when I came back to the spiritual world, I was stopped again and said, "Now, that's enough. We've given you enough time. Now that's enough. Now you have to get back to work with great energy." I was amazed at these energetic words, because before that things had been much more relaxed. Now they took me to such sick people and said, "Here is your place, and your place goes from this person to that person, to that person, to that person, and you must not dare to go anywhere else. You must devote yourself only to these poorest creatures. You must try to comfort them, because the spirit of these people is free most of the time. You can talk to it, you must give it comforting words, you must listen to what it has to tell you." And they said to me, "Your next life is ahead of you, and it will be exactly like this. You will be reborn as a disabled person." I was amazed. Yes, is that possible? Is that in God's goodness and justice? I didn't want to believe that, that couldn't be true, and I wanted to insist that Christ had brought salvation. Then they told me, "Yes, Christ brought salvation, otherwise you wouldn't have been able to ascend, you wouldn't have seen us. You wouldn't have experienced our care and our help if Christ hadn't brought salvation." I didn't understand this, and they just told me that I would be told about it later. Now I was naturally concerned. The fact that I would have to live as a disabled person affected me deeply. And now am I actually started to take an interest in these poor creatures. For me it was, so to speak, a preparation for the new life that was to come, so that I could face these adversities sooner, so that I would be a little stronger and not too disappointed. Yes, now I could no longer talk to the other spirits or take an interest in people's lives. So I then faithfully sought out one and another of these poorest people, because now I had seen that the word was serious. So I then tried to console the spirit of these people. Each of them told me why they had to live as a disabled person, how many people they had killed, how many they had tortured, how many they had deceived, and so on and so forth. Now I knew, this is retribution. When I said to these poorest creatures, "The same fate has been revealed to me, a new life on earth awaits me," I received consolation from them for the new life instead of consoling them. They said to me, "Life is short, and one can get through something like this. Afterwards we will be free of these torments." One of them said to me, "You know, I am bored by many people, they torment me, they laugh at me, but my guardian spirit told me that all those who insult me, who mock me, who do me harm, must then come before me in the other world and apologize to me." Yes, I didn't really want that. But I saw that it gave him the strength to endure his great pain, his difficult fate. So I immersed myself more and more in the fate of these seriously suffering people. I tried to share their suffering and their pain, because these disabled people were not without pain. And suddenly I felt the pain in my own spiritual body. I could feel with them, suffer with them, and we comforted each other. They all knew, because they saw it, that I was marked to wander through life as one too. So I turned more and more away from all earthly events and devoted myself only to these poor people. I tried to help them with all my spiritual strength. Sometimes I managed to push someone a little, give them some strength, guide them a little.